Blog Talk Radio.
For all the news you need to know, welcome to the Beautiful Butterfly Show, where great people and great topics are brought together for stimulating and thought-provoking conversation, brought to you by the Vibration Radio Network.
And welcome, everyone, to the Beautiful Butterfly Show. I'm your host, Bianca Fly. I want to say happy Thursday to you guys out there. Thank you for tuning in to yet another great episode of the Beautiful Butterfly Radio Show, which is brought to you by Vibration Radio, which means you're listening to a show that's being broadcast globally. So big shouts out to Vibration Radio for always supporting and holding us down over here on the Beautiful Butterfly Radio Show. And tonight, you guys, I hope that you have your pen, your pad, your paper, all those great things ready. Tonight, we are going to discuss maximizing your tax refund made easy. As you guys know, it is tax time. It is tax season. People are filing. People are preparing their paperwork and getting all their documents and receipts and all that together to take it to their tax preparer, or some people are doing it themselves. But tonight we have a professional tax advisor. Christina Barnes is going to be sharing with us details that will help you better understand your tax information as we discuss her book, Maximizing Your Tax Refund Made Easy. And so Christina Barnes offers more than 50 years of experience in auditing, accounting, and individual and small business taxation. And so she is also currently a budget analyst supervisor for the city of Philadelphia. And so tonight she is going to be able to discuss her own business as well, KMB Tax Services LLC, where she helps, you know, various individuals with their tax preparation and small businesses with bookkeeping, all of those great things. So tonight, if you got some tax questions for Christina, feel free to call in. We would love to be able to answer your questions here live on tonight. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break and give our guests some time to get in, and we're going to get this started, you guys. So we'll be right back with more right here on the Beautiful Butterfly Show.
There is a musical revolution coming. A mixture of jazz, soul, and funk. Topped off with the lyrical precision of the spoken one, Mr. Orestes Adey.
When cloudy days become the norm, this mystical being that is my
everywhere, January 20th, 2018.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Beautiful Butterfly Show. I'm your host, Bianca Fly. And this evening, you guys, as I talked a little bit a few minutes ago, we are welcoming Christina Barnes. She's going to come on, you guys. We're going to be talking about her book entitled Maximizing Your Tax Refund Made Easy. And so for a lot of people, tax time can be a very stressful period because people trying to figure out how they can get the most money that they can. People trying to make sure they have all their documents, all their ducks in a row. And so tonight, Christina is going to provide you guys with some awesome information on how you, in fact, can maximize your tax refund. And I know a lot of people would definitely love to do that, including myself. And so we're not going to delay any longer. We're going to bring our special guest on here. Christina, you there?
Yes.
Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so tonight we are going to be discussing your book, Maximizing Your Tax Refund Made Easy. But for the folks out there, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Christina Barnes and what made you want to create this book?
Well, now I'm an author, so I can actually say I'm an author now.
right.
Still getting used to that. But so I'm an author. I'm the owner of KMB Tax and Accounting Services. And I'm a mother of two. I'm a wife. And basically, I decided to write a book. I was actually talking to a friend, and she kept encouraging me. She was like, listen, a lot of people don't know what you know. And I was like, oh, sure they do. It's nothing big about it. Just, you know, go online, go on Google or whatever. And she was like, no, I really think you need to write this down. So I was kind of hesitant at first because I'm like, oh, this is odd. Like, who wants to hear from an accountant? But but so I decided to write down my thoughts and pretty much tell my story as far as how I've been, you know, how I struggled to get out of debt and try to maximize my refund as well and try to start anew. And give some tax tips at the same time to people that just don't want to pretty much hire a professional. They want to see if they can do it themselves. So I just decided to put it all in a book and talk about budgeting and savings as well.
Absolutely. And for you, Christina, has budgeting and saving always been something that you enjoyed doing, something that you always, you know, tried to make sure you do throughout your life?
Not at first, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else, I guess most people, I mean, yeah. I learned about it at home. My mom was the one that would budget. My father would go out and make the money, and then he'd bring home the check to her.
Right.
So I knew what she did, but I'm like, oh, I don't know about all that. And it wasn't until after college and I was out on my own, pretty much, and then I was expecting my first child. So I said, wait, I got all this debt. I got to figure this out because I don't want to bring a baby in this world, and how I'm going to take care of a baby and do all that stuff. So that's when I really started, like, really buckling down, saving, and really looking at, you know, where my money is going.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, Christina, also for a lot of people, when we mention budgets and stuff, a lot of people are like, oh boy, that means I have to cut back on something. You know, that means I have to, you know, spend less or something. So sometimes, you know, people get hesitant about even creating a budget because a lot of times people, you know, have that anticipation, like, okay, I'm going to have to give something up. I'm going to have to pull back on doing something that I enjoy. And so what have you found personally to be the benefits for you as well as your family to have that budget set up for you guys?
Well, I actually get to see where my money is going.
Right.
And I get to really control it.
Yeah.
So to me, what I found out is that when you don't do a budget, it seems like your money is going wherever, and you don't know where, you know, when somebody say, well, this costs this much, or you want to get something, and you like, oh, my gosh, I had $200 in account. I don't have it no more. What happened to that money? So I found I really feel like, you know, budgeting actually allows me to be able to, I mean, we send our kids to a private school now. So it allowed me to be able to find the money to do that. It allowed us to go on vacations. It allowed us to, you know, refurnish the house or whatever. So if people just take the fear out of it and not look at it like, oh my gosh, you know, it's kind of like it's scary. It's not really. It's really just showing you where you put your money at. That may be scary because right. You're like, oh my gosh, am I just throwing away money? I'm just buying right. A cup of coffee every day. You know, so where I can actually make my coffee and take it to work, you know. So I found out just by doing a budget on a monthly basis and really keeping us on a strict, like, okay, well, I want to spend groceries. I only want to spend $500 this month. And what can I do to make sure I stay within that $500 has helped us a lot and be able to do more things.
Absolutely. And for you, Christina, because, of course, it's still the new year. And so, of course, for the new year, a lot of people try to, you know, set that budget to save more money for the year and to be able to go on maybe a better trip or their first time trip. And so what do you recommend the first steps to kind of ease people in the process of creating a budget?
Well, first, you know, just pretty much look at your income, how much your check, if you get paid biweekly, look at your biweekly pay and gather your bills and really see when your bills are due and try to figure out, okay, well, I'm looking at mine now. So what I do is I look at the due dates of all my bills and I look at the income that's coming in. And I say, okay, what can I pay this week or what can I pay this time? And I put that all in the budget prior to when it's due. And then I look to say, okay, well, now I have money. Well, I do save. So I do put 10% of my savings, my biweekly pays. I put 10% of the savings because I do think it is really, really important to have an emergency fund.
Absolutely.
So I put savings and then I look at my bills and then I look at, you know, that kind of stuff. And just to make sure, like, okay, the kids don't need this or any fees coming out for school this week, you know, just to try to look at it and get an idea of what, you know, what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, of course, Christina, with this tax season coming up, a lot of people, which I'm pretty sure you've heard as well, a lot of people have a lot of concerns, which I'm pretty sure they do every year, especially when certain things are beginning to get changed as far as the government and different policies and things they're trying to implement and take away things and, you know, all of those type of things. And so when we're going to prepare for our I guess my first question should be, where should we go to get our taxes prepared? Sometimes people go to Aunt Susie, you know, let Aunt Susie prepare the taxes or cousin so-and-so. Is that wise, I guess, is my question, to do that? Or should we be going to, you know, a professional to get it done?
Well, I laugh because, you know, I am the cousin that, my cousin does my taxes. So I am the cousin and the daughter and, you know.
Right.
But I would actually, when I first started out, I actually took a course at H&R Block.
So, okay.
And that's how I started out. Like, my dad was like, you know, I graduated with my degree in accounting in 2001. And he was like, okay, well, you got your accounting degree. Boom, you doing our taxes. And I was like, huh? but I decided to take a course at H&R Block. And then after working for them for 2 years, I saw what they was doing. And I didn't like the whole refund anticipation loans and stuff like that. So I decided to go out on my own and just, you know, do my cousin's taxes and day four. So, I mean, I would say if you can, the IRS has a lot of free e-filing, like TurboTax and stuff like that. But you do need to consult someone just to make sure that you are getting the maximum amount of deductions that you can, that you're supposed to have. So I would probably do two things. I'll try the free thing on my own, and then if my aunt does taxes, I'll talk to her a little bit about it, or, you know, try to get a feel, and you know, and then try it myself. And then, you know, when all else fails, I think that you should pretty much try to go to a professional, at least to advise you on, you know, your deductions and so forth. Because a lot of things you won't get just by going on TurboTax. They'll prompt you for the questions to ask you, but it's not, sometimes it's not as, you know, that simple. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, of course, the next question that we get from a lot of people is, what kind of information do we need to take to our tax preparer? Because I know sometimes people will go, they don't have all the information that they need, so sometimes they have to go back or turn in a paper. What are some of the key documents that we need before we even get to the tax preparer?
Well, you need your W-2, excuse me, or your 1099. Some people are independent contractors. They work for themselves, or, you know, they'll just do freelance work. So you need your 1099. Well, you also need your ID now. They at least want to verify who you are. And you need to, if you're claiming dependents, you need to have their Social Security cards and at least their number and their date of birth and, you know, the actual correct spelling of your name. I usually ask for a copy of it for the first time for my clients because they are my first time clients. And I want to make sure that I'm entering the correct information.
Absolutely.
Now with the Affordable Care Act, you need the your health insurance form. So you need like the 1095 A, B, or C. You need to make sure you have that just so you won't get penalized. And if you don't have it, the preparer can file your taxes, but you will be penalized for not having, you know, not really validating whether you had insurance last year or not.
Right.
So you definitely need that. And then you need your other documents. If you have a child that attends college, you need the 1098. So, or if you attend the college, you use the 1098-T, your education form, and so forth. So those are the key ones, and your mortgage interest statement if you own a home or a rental property and so forth. So I actually give my clients a checklist and check off with, you know, to help them gather all their documents and to, you know, check everything off and then give it to me that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And so with this, and a lot of times you have a lot of people who are not always sure on what they should claim, you know, should I claim this on my taxes? What are some of the things in your experiences that a lot of people forget that they can actually claim on their taxes?
Well, some people forget that they could claim their dependent care expenses.
Okay.
So if their kid goes to daycare, apparently, I thought that most people know that they can claim it, but they'll say, no, I didn't know that, and where do I get the information? Because you need an EIN number from that child care provider. That's one. The other thing, more of the entrepreneurs that I had, the clients that I have, they don't know that they can claim their home office space within their home.
Right.
So that's really key because you can deduct the square footage that where your office is within your home. Say, for instance, you work in your dining room. Well, you could deduct that square footage of your home, and even those expenses that go into that home is contributed to your home office. A lot of people aren't sure about that. And even if you purchase like energy efficient upgrades to your home, like appliances and stuff like that, you can apply for the residential energy credit. So there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of things that people may not know. And that's why I say it's good to, you know, at least talk to a professional, at least just to advise you on your deductions and what you can qualify for.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, of course, with tax season, a lot of times people, and one of the things that you mentioned that I did want to ask you about is that when you see tax season approach, from different various companies that do taxes, you always see what you mentioned about this refund anticipation loan. And so, which I have found that has really got some people in a doozy, you know, it's really got some folks in some trouble because they're like, oh, hey, I can go, you know, borrow a little of this money. And what, in fact, is the real definition behind and the real setup behind this refund anticipation loan?
Well, basically, the tech companies are, which is, you know, the other like providers like H&R Block, and they're pretty much giving you a loan before you even, before your refund gets here. So they charge you interest on top of the money that you was already are already due for, you know. And if you, what I always encourage, and I don't even offer that service, and I don't pay for it, and even though I've been told that, oh, you need to, you know, this will help you get more clients, I choose not to, because you can wait 2 weeks for your money. If you know you haven't had your, you can't miss what you didn't have, what you don't have.
Right.
It's just the fact that, you know, you're paying 20 or 30% of your of your actual refund. So if your refund is $5,000, you're paying an additional 30% just to borrow your refund. So why should you borrow your refund? That's your refund. You're going to get it. Just wait a little bit, have some patience, and while you're waiting, perfect time to create a budget. you know, to help you out. So yeah, I just kind of cringe on that refund anticipation loan and stuff like that. So, because I had to offer that, and that was, I used to turn down clients where I was at, and I say, no, listen, just wait for your money, or go to Six and Arch at the Federal Building and go ahead and get your taxes done for free and just wait for your money. Don't borrow your money. So.
Right. Absolutely. And so what we're going to do is going to take a little break. When I come back, we're going to share with you guys a few ways. We're not going to give away too many tips on how you can maximize your tax return. And so Christina is going to provide us with some of that information from her book, Maximizing Your Tax Refund Made Easy. So she's going to share a little bit, but we're not going to give away too much because we want you guys to be able to purchase this book as well. And so we're going to take a little break, but we'll be right back with more right here on the Beautiful Butterfly Show.
Hey, y'all, it's Coach Michelle Jackson. And when I'm not busy coaching, motivating, or writing, I listen to Bianca Fly on the Beautiful Butterfly Show. Bianca Fly takes me high on the Beautiful Butterfly Show.
Hey, everyone, it's me, Lisa, from the Conversations with Trent show, featuring, you guessed it, me. Be sure to tune in Friday nights, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, as we strive to guide you to greater authentic living, right here on your radio networks, YRN 1328.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Beautiful Butterfly Show. I'm your host, Bianca Fly. And this evening, you guys, we're providing you guys with some excellent information. It is tax time, tax season. And so we have Christina Barnes, author of Maximizing Your Tax Refund Made Easy, here on the show tonight, providing you guys with some excellent tips as well. And so, Christina, when we get ready to prepare our taxes, everybody's always, you know, wishing and praying that that tax refund check is going to be something magnificent when we get it back.
Right.
And so, especially when you hear, you know, some other people like, oh, I got, you know, such and such amount of back or whatever the case may be. What is kind of one of the tips that can help us even maximize our refund that most of us may not even, you know, have thought about?
Well, just to really make sure that you're getting all your deductions.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at pretty much your life and see how, you know, oh, do I have a house? Do I have this? Do I take my kids back and forth to childcare, summer camp, stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
to really pretty much look at how, you know, your life was throughout that whole year and just say, well, wait, can I deduct that? And you can, of course, you can come to KMB Tax Services and we'll be glad to help. But just to really look at how you know, how your life is and how your life
right.
was within the year and just really ask the questions and really, you know, drill down into what, you know, what's been going on with you. And
right.
then you can see whether you can deduct, you know, certain things. If you're an entrepreneur, you have so many more options because you are your business.
Mm-hmm.
You are your own entity. So you
right.
can say, hey, I'm traveling back and forth. I'm going here. I'm taking coaching
mm-hmm.
classes. I'm
mm-hmm.
taking, you know, whatever kind of courses or whatever. Hey, you can deduct that, you know.
Wow.
So,
okay.
you know, really just taking a look at your, you know, your life.
Okay. We got a question from a listener, Cynthia, from Houston, Texas. She says, is it important to itemize when it comes to your taxes?
Yes, you can itemize as much as you can.
Yeah.
So what the IRS does is they take the higher deduction. So whether you
okay.
have a standard deduction
mm-hmm.
or you itemize on a Schedule A, if that's higher, they take the highest deduction. So,
okay.
Yes, you need to try to itemize as much as you can. And, you know, of course, again, the higher deduction is the one that they take that helps you out and it lowers your taxable income.
Absolutely. Destiny from St. Petersburg, Florida, she says, If a couple is co-parenting and they're no longer together, how do you determine who claims the children? And this is a very popular question. I hear people, you know, trying to debate over this one oftentimes. So who gets to claim the kids? Who gets to claim the kids, Christina? Who gets to claim the kids or the taxes if the parents, you know, are no longer married or they're separated or what have you?
Oh, the baby. Okay. So, basically, you have to agree. Now, you have to agree with the, if you're co-parenting, you should agree who's going to claim the child this year or who's not going to claim the child. Or you both can claim the child, but it has to be six months out the year that you claim. So, if you're co-parenting, you only get half of the credit. Because
okay.
if the father is claiming the child and then you're claiming 6 months out the year, the mother is claiming 6 months out the year, and then
okay.
you're claiming 6 months out the year. So, I mean, you really need to really sit down and have a conversation and decide which, you know, what's best or what, you know,
right.
you want to do.
Right.
Really.
So it could be very well where, you know, you kind of split in that amount that you get back when you do you do 6 months and I do 6 months.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you can. I'm sorry. My phone. I'm so sorry. So, yes, you could do the split, or you could just say, well, hey, you know what? This year, I'll let you claim them, and I'll claim them the following year. Like, I do have some clients that are co-parenting, but they say, listen, this year I'm claiming the child. He or she is not. And, you know, they just split it up between each other that way.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Awesome.
Thank you for the question. That was actually a good question.
Great question. And for you guys who are out there listening, feel free to call in with your questions or comments. The number is 347-326-9139 is the number. And I think we have Miss Sharon. Sharon, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Miss Christina. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing great. This is excellent. Hey, honey, how are you, Miss Fly?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm on vacation, but I could not miss this interview.
Oh, now that's love. Aww. That's love right there. When you can show other support while you on vacation. And Sharon, what are your thoughts first on this book and Christina providing so much information in this book actually to help people?
I know this book is necessary and is needed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because I'm one of those females and entrepreneurs who get rich when I get my refund. Christina will tell you.
Yeah.
you know, some of us, you know, when that refund check hit our account, we automatically be super rich. You know?
Right.
Because, you know, depending on how much you get, it's like, okay, you know, that's more than your paycheck, it's more than your, you know, your child support or whatever finances you get, you know, refund makes you rich. Right.
And they call out from work that day.
Yes, that's me. When my refund hits, I'm sick. Okay. When my refund hit, I automatically get sick and I have to call out because I have shopping to do. I have stuff to catch up on. So, and this is real talk. This is just not a phone conversation. This is real talk. I'm really sick on refund day. So, but what this book does is it gives you tools, it gives you resources so you're not sick. This way you can stay rich for the year. Okay, because some of us, you know, we broke Friday, we broke Monday, and now it's like, okay, now I got to work the rest of the year. Like, that sucks. Who really wants to do that? What Christina does in her book is she teaches you and she gives you tools and gives you resources of how to make your refund check work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being sick going shopping, she tells you, she teaches you how to budget. She teaches you how to use your refund to get out of debt. She teaches you how to use your refund to even, you know, start getting into stocks and investments. Like a lot of us, you know, people who want to get into wealth, you know, we talk about wealth and money and retirement. Well, a lot of us know that that money is in stocks. So she even gives you a section on how to use your refund, you know, to get into the stock game. I mean, Apple, everybody know every year Apple comes up with a new product. What does that do? It raises their stocks. So why not use your refund to invest in a stock that's going to build, you know, equity and money later? So that, for me, that's the biggest thing that this book does. It teaches you how to use, you know, a one-time payment that we get every year, but how to use it to better your life forever.
Absolutely.
Did I sum that up for you, Christina?
And did you have a question as well that you wanted to ask?
Yes, I did. Christina, you've given out a lot of great information. What I'm curious, in regarding your book, for someone who wants to don't necessarily know which way to go with their refund. Like, some people may want to get out of debt. Some people may want to, stock or whatever. You know, what services do you offer to kind of, I mean, outside of the book, because the book is great, but if I want a little bit more, are there any services, you know, that you offer people that I can come and say, okay, I've read this in your book and I want to add this to my life. What, you know, do you have any services to help them with that?
Yes, I do offer financial coaching. So I do have clients that actually need that one-on-one, or they just need the extra accountability partner to kind of help them stay on track and to, you know, pursue their financial goals. So, Cammie, we do offer that service. And we also, you know, again, we would just we will just talk to you one-on-one, and we'll just figure out where you are. But the good thing about that is that you're not by yourself.
Right.
And you do have an accountability partner. That's somebody that's going to, like, you along the way. And then if you really, like, oh, I'm at the store, I'm at Lane Bryant, I'm not sure if I need to buy this. Like, listen, was that part of your goal this week? Was you supposed to be buying them $60 hands? No.
Exactly.
But, you know. So, yes. Okay, we do offer financial coaching. So that'll really help with debt elimination. It'll help you with your financial goals. We'll go over investments if that's what, you know, that's what you want to pursue. But, of course, the ultimate goal is to help you and get out of debt and, you know, achieving your financial goals.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for that answer.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure you're going to give your website at the end just so I can jot that down. But, again, great job.
Sure.
I'm loving the interview. Ms. Fly, you always doing your thing. I'm getting ready to go back on vacation, so I'll
get well, you enjoy your vacation, honey.
Yes, enjoy.
Yes, you know I deserve it.
Yes, you do.
All right. Thank
you again for calling in.
All right.
Absolutely. Which Sharon made a great point is that a lot of times, you know, we get that tax refund, we're like, okay, I'm in the money, I could go get that bag that I've been eyeing in the mall, you know, for the longest.
Okay.
I can go, you know, and for me, and you know, I hope nobody gets offended listening, I can always tell, I don't know about anybody else's city, but I can always tell when tax time is present in my city. Why?
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
got a new car. Everybody yep. got a new car. And
yep.
my thing
getting new furniture.
Yes. They got new cars, you know, they got the
yep.
rims and now it might went got something with some tint on it. But the thing about people is that they don't understand when you go, I just feel like when you take that opportunity, get something that you can afford after the tax money runs out. You know, even if
right.
the tax money is gone, but a lot of time then, so interesting story, went to a car dealership and we seen a lot of like, new cars returned on the used lot. And we're like, okay, well, what's going on with this? And he talked about how people, with what we discussed earlier, got the refund anticipation loans, you know, and without buying cars. And then people go buy cars that they can't afford. So what they head right back to the lot, you know, because they've
right.
been repossessed.
Right.
Christina, how vital is it that I know money gets us excited and we want to do new endeavors, but you know, is it wise to go out and make these bitches such as a vehicle? You know, even if that money is going to run out after a while, eventually.
Yeah, no, it's not a good decision to make that big of a purchase if you didn't think about it in the long run. So you put down the down payment because you got $2,000 or your refund is $3,000, but yet you got into this, you can't afford the $300 a month payment. So you really need to think about it. You really need to look at that refund and like say to yourself, like, okay, what do I need? What don't I have? If I'm trying to build wealth for my family or I don't have no emergency fund at all. So if something happens to me, who's going to take care of my house? Who's going to take care of my kids? So you need to have like a thought process to say, wait, I don't even have an emergency fund. I have zero in my savings, but yeah, I got this $3,000 refund and now I want to buy a car because I need that car too, but I don't have an emergency fund. So you really need to think about it. And it's just, you know, it's these hard decisions as we don't want to make, but we have to make them because it benefits us in the long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know.
And especially with the time coming up. And so people oftentimes, once people to figure out that deadline for the taxes, which is it April 15th still the deadline?
It's April 17th, I believe. Now.
April
17th?
Yeah.
So when people, you know, and a lot of people sometimes rush, and then sometimes, you know, people go, does getting an extension on your taxes hurt you in any kind of way? Because I know some folks will get an extension, you know, to give themselves a little more time.
Well, yeah, if you know you owe taxes and you apply for an extension, you're still responsible for the interest and penalties it incurs after April 15th or April 17th. So if you're getting a refund, if you know, okay, I'm going to get a refund, you can file an extension. The refund is not going to hurt you because it's actually, I mean, the government is actually holding your money. I don't even talk about that, holding your money without interest. So they're earning interest on your money, but you're not. You just get the refund that you've been, you know, letting
okay.
them hold
okay.
all year. But that's
yeah.
another topic. But, but yeah, so if you're owing, then, yeah, you're still responsible for the penalties and interest. But if you know you're going to get a refund, then it's not going to hurt you to file an extension.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the questions is from Danielle. Danielle from Atlanta. She wants to know,
right.
how much do you actually have to report on your taxes? She says sometimes people say if you don't make a certain amount, you don't have to report it. Is this true?
There is an amount that the IRS that it says that you don't have to report. So
okay.
The rule of thumb is so the standard deduction right now for FY 2017 is $6,300 for a single person. If you
okay.
don't make up to six, you know, you only make like $3,000 a year last year
mm-hmm.
or whatever for 2017, it's
mm-hmm.
not, you don't have to report that because all the taxes that was taken out, that was withheld, is going to come back to you. And that's only going to be less than 10%. So it's going to be like $200. I'm not saying that you don't need the $200. You do. And you can file, but it's not, you don't really have to.
Okay. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Good question, Danielle.
That is
good
a good question.
Question.
Thanks for that question. That is, because I get that too sometimes where people are like, oh, well, I only made $2,000 or
mm-hmm.
I only made
mm-hmm.
$3,000, and it's not even the standard. So what the IRS uses is basically how much can we tax on that money that we did not tax all year.
Right.
So, you know, that's what they use. So they actually tax you because it's already withheld. But, I mean, you don't have to file that. It's all, you know.
Right.
It's just what they
okay.
recommend, yeah. Yeah, good question,
Danny,
though. Thank you.
Absolutely. Danny from Ohio, let's see here. Danny from Ohio wants to know, when you get your refund back, should you, in fact, pay off those bills that are the highest, or should you pay some on it and save the rest? Which is a big thing because you hear a lot of people talk about, okay, I'm gonna pay off my car, I'm gonna pay off my student loans, I'm gonna pay off something. Is it wise to just take all of our tax refund money, Christina, and pay off something, or do we pay, you know, what, you know, a little on that and then save the rest? How would you advise someone to go about doing that?
Well, first and foremost, I'm an advocate of emergency funds. So I advise all my clients to at least need $1,000 in your bank account, a savings account. If your refund is $1,000, then I would advise trying to put 50% of that in a savings account and then put the rest to your priority bill. It's really
okay.
important because you don't know the savings, the emergency fund is what it is. But it's not everything is emergency. So it's not like if I need a new pair of shoes, that's an emergency. oh, girl, I seen that Michael Kors bag. I need that bag. That's not an emergency. An emergency is something happens to your car and you need to buy a battery. And you
mm-hmm.
don't have that $100 or, you know, I don't know how much they go for now. A low end is probably $80. But you don't
mm-hmm.
have the middle grade, which is like $150. You don't have that money. but you need your car to take you, you know, to drop your kids off and do whatever. So if you don't have that money in savings, how are you going to pay that? You want to put it on a credit card in which you want to draw more interest on it? So it's just really, really sitting back and thinking, and we can help you with that. We can, you know, K&B Tax Services can help you with that, and that's part of financial coaching, really to sit back and figure out, like, listen, these are the things that can happen to you, and how would you tackle, how would you pay for that? How are you going to handle that? So you really need to establish some sort of savings, so at least if something happens, then you can pay it with your savings and then replenish later.
Okay.
You know, so, yes, I will put some money in the savings, and then I'll pay my priority bills. You know, I'll try to knock them down again, but you got to figure out what are priority bills. Is it your credit card? Is it mortgage? Is it student loans? Is it, you know, and we can definitely help you with that as well.
Absolutely. And, of course, for the folks out here, let's give them one more other tip on how they can maximize their refund, Christina.
Let me see. So we talked about an emergency fund. We talked about budget. So the next thing would be investing, I would say. We don't typically invest. A lot of people don't invest.
Right.
It's always, you
right.
know, the very elite invest. And when you're thinking about investing, you know, the stock market is great. Mutual funds is great. But then you don't think about, when people think about the stock market, they get really, really scared. They say, oh, my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to get into the stock market and what, you know, how do I do go about that? But it's really easy. It's not hard. You don't need to go to Merrill Lynch. You don't need to go to these big, Schwab and, you know, just to figure out how to get into the stock market. It's just, you know, it's just really just using. So I'm going to give you a couple of tips. I have a couple websites that I mentioned in the book, which is stockpile.com. And you can purchase, like, small amounts of stocks. So say, for instance, Apple. I always say Apple. Well, I know Sharon mentioned Apple, but I do advise clients to really look at what you purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you're buying, that's what you should be investing in because you're buying it.
Right.
You have an iPhone, but you own no. You don't have no Apple stock. That's not, you know, you.
Right.
Maybe I need to think about that, you know.
Right.
And don't get me
right.
wrong. These are things that, and it's not like you're supposed to know, but these are what some other people are doing. So it's just really trying to bring that back and say, wait, I use that iron, but that iron is from Procter & Gamble. Who makes that iron? You know, who does that? I had my kids this for Christmas. They gave us a list of things that they want. But one of the things that we made them do was really figure out who makes that. Like my son is in love with PS4. He loves it. He's 7 years old. So I said, ask him, I said, you need to research who makes that. And then you need to put on that list that you want a piece of that stock. Now, I talked to them about, you know, how much stock is and stuff like that. But I have a 12-year-old that actually, I made her go on there and figure out who makes that and how much it costs. Now, they had a limit for Christmas, of course. But it was really trying to make them aware to say, wait, that stock is $145. But do I need to buy the PS4 game? Well, who makes that? So it's just really trying to figure out, you know, trying to put in play, like, listen, well, you have this game. You need to figure out who owns it. And then you need to purchase some stock in it because you're using it. So other kids are using it, too. So that's one of the things. But, yeah, you need to really look at that. Like, I have an iPhone, so I purchase Apple stock because I'm using it. And then when you purchase the stock, you actually get dividends. And that's really good because that's building wealth. And you can take the dividend and reinvest it in some more stock of Apple, or you can take the shares and reinvest it into another stock.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
purchase another stock. So, yeah, you need to, I would say investing is one of the other tips in my book that I talk about.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, Christina, when people go and they purchase this book, Maximizing Your Tax Refund Made Easy, what do you want people to be able to take away from this book when they read it?
I want them to feel empowered. I want them to feel like they can get out of debt. I want them to feel like they can take control, ultimately take control of your finances. That's all. It's your money. Take control of it and really just make it work for you. Don't just react on impulses and realize that this is yours and you have the power to control it. You have the power to make your money do what it, but do what you want it to do. And even with, I have a piece in there that's teaching you about preparing your taxes if that's what you want to do. You know, you can possibly, if you research more and speak to, you know, you can speak to KMB Tax Services, of course, but you can also feel like, okay, wait, I might can sit down and prepare my taxes myself, or I might can literally figure out how this tax system works. So it's just really, the book is really going to help you just empower yourself to feel more confident and to really make a commitment to yourself that I can get out of debt, I can build financial wealth for my family, and I can just make my money work for me.
Absolutely. Christina, for the folks out here who want to be able to purchase this book, but also we have a lot of folks in business, authors, you name it, music artists, business entrepreneurs who might be looking for somebody to help them, you know, start that budget, you know, keep their books in line for them. How can people go about purchasing this book, but also connecting with you for your services?
Sure. I have a website. It's okay. www.kmbtaxservices.com. This book is available on Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and Amazon. I also have an email address, but once you go to the website, you can sign up for my email blast, and you can stay connected with me. I send out newsletters. Any tips that I find or any new information that I have, I put that out there as well. I'm also on Facebook. I have a fan page at KMB Tax Services on Instagram, Twitter.
Okay.
And, yeah, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm sorry. and that's how you can reach me. Our office, we have an office number. Our number is 267-973-6539. And, yeah, so just if you have a question, you know, don't hesitate to just ask. You can always, again, email me through the website, or you can contact me through the website or my phone number that I just provided. And we will get back to you within 24 hours.
Absolutely. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah. I am so glad that you were able to come on here. And I actually learned a lot from you tonight as well as the listeners. So I definitely want to thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your knowledge when it comes to maximizing our tax refund and budgeting and all those great things, because, you know, we don't know what we don't know. You know, and so it takes
right.
individuals like you yourself to put that information out there, give us another resource to have so that we can, you know, get on the right track when it comes to our finances and budgets and all those great things. So I definitely want to thank you for coming on here and sharing so much with
you.
Us. And definitely
thank
appreciate
you so much
you.
For giving me this opportunity.
Absolutely.
Thank
absolutely.
You actually made this process smoother for me.
You're welcome.
I was a bit nervous. I actually talked to Sharon before. I was like, she was like, no, it's going to be fine. You'll be fine. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, yes.
But no, this has been so wonderful. And I'm so
absolutely.
Thankful for the listeners.
Absolutely. And I hope that you'll come back again soon and talk with us, because we can always get more tips and get more help when it comes to getting our lives and our personal and our finances on track. And so we'll definitely reach out to you and try to get you back on here again soon to share more
sure.
great things with our audience.
Sure.
And so I hope you have a great rest of your evening, and definitely appreciate
you
for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks again. You're welcome. For all the questions.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And you have a great evening, and I'll be talking with you again soon.
Thank you. You do the same.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you guys, that was author Christina Barnes of Maximizing Your Tax Refund Made Easy. So thank her so much. Thank you so much, Christina, for coming on, providing such magnificent information for us. And, you know, we need it. We need that source of information from great, great people. And so coming up, guys, next Tuesday, at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have author Jimnez Bailey, author of An Ordinary Man with an Extraordinary God. So he's going to be talking with us about a powerful journey of self-discovery, peace, and finding true joy in life. And so hopefully you guys will join me next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on The Beautiful Butterfly Show. I am Bianca Fly. Hope you have our guys. Have a great weekend. And thank you so much for tuning into The Beautiful Butterfly Show.